ॐ भारताय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिताम् पुराणीना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वाम् अनुसन्ततामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वैषिणी।
देहि नित्यम् अवध्योऽयम्
देहे सर्वस्य भारत तस्मात् सर्वाणि भूतानि न त्वं शोचितुम् अर्हसि। देहि नित्यम् अवध्यः अयम् देहे सर्वस्य भारत तस्मात् सर्वाणि भूतानि न त्वं शोचितुम् अर्हसि। Now, Krishna is starting to sum up this section. There is telling Arjuna, there is no reason for your grief. This section has been, there is no reason for your grief from the standpoint of the Atma, because there is only one self, and that self never dies. And so now he's concluding that, and then he's going to go on to other reasons, from other perspectives, Dharma, why there's no cause for grief. So here he says, so reiterating, Dehi is nominative singular from Dehim, so nominative, okay? The Dehi, the one who indwells the body, okay? This conscious being, the Dehi, the one who has a body, that in affect shows possession, actually. So the one who has a body, and we often call the one who has a body the indweller of the body. So the Dehi, that Dehi is Nityam. Yourself, the one who indwells this body, is Nityam, free from time. For you, there is no movement of time, past, present, or future. You don't grow old and die. For you, your Nityam means free from time. You are the presence of the present. So, even in your own experience of the world, you never experience yourself moving through time, because all of your experience is always in the present. That's something to recognize, in fact. We have a concept of past, present, and future, but actually the past that we experience is always a recollection that's being experienced in the present. And so you remember the past, but the remembrance is in the present. You project and fantasize over the future, but the projection and the fantasy is in the present. And so, in fact, your experience is all of yourself is always in the present. And so one way of recognizing what they mean by this Nityam, free from time, is that when we think of the word present, we think of it as a trilogy, past, present, future. You know? So now think of the presence of the present, the awareness that illumines past, present, and future. You are the awareness that illumines past, present, and future. And that awareness itself is not subject to time. It is Nityam, free from time. Anitya means time-bound. Nityam, sometimes translated as eternal, but in reference, when used in reference to the Atma or Brahman, eternal isn't a good word, because eternal has the sense of continuing through time, going on forever. And this is different than that. It's not going on forever. It is the changeless, timeless presence. That's Nityam. So the Dehi is Nityam, okay? Free from time. It is avadhyaha. Vad means to strike or to kill. The a negates avadhya. The ya affix is a potential participle. So avadhyaha, that which cannot be killed, that which cannot be wounded or hurt in any way. It's indestructible. It's avadhyaha. So the atma yourself is not an object in the creation that somebody can act upon. That's a good way to say it. Avadhyaha is the extreme. And remember that Arjuna is facing a war where his main concern is that he's going to be killing all of those that are dear to him. That's the vajja. He's going to be responsible for them. They are destructible. They can be killed. This is Arjuna's buddhi. This is his conclusion. His knowledge. All of these people can be killed. All of these people, all of them are vajjas. They're all people that are subject to, capable of being killed. Now Krishna says, no, the Atma, the Dehi, the one who indwells the body, the self of all of these people that are so dear to you, the Atma, the Dehi, is avajjaha. It is nityaha. It's not available for destruction. It's not available for you. It's not available to be acted upon. Because the self is not an object within the creation. It's not objectifiable. Consciousness is not objectifiable. If it were objectifiable, you could act upon it. You know, you could strike it or hit it or kick it or wash it or clean it or heal it. You could do something to it. Or you could do something. But the Atma is not something that you can objectify. Because it's not objectifiable, it's not something that you can grasp or hurt or help in any way. It's avadhyaha. Avadhyaha means it's actually indestructible. You know, it's not just that it can't be killed. It can't be touched. It's not available for any type of handling or manipulation. But avadhyaha is the extreme because Arjuna is in an extreme situation. He's about ready to face a war. And so all of these are have to do with killing and not being able to be killed. So he says, this ayam dehi, ayam, nominative singular, ayam dehi, this atma, this one who's indwelling the body, ayam dehi, it is nityam. So ayam dehi dehe. Dehe is locative singular. So ayam dehi, this indweller, in the body, dehe, locative singular, the indweller of the body, the one who indwells the body, the one who has the body, who's here, in this body, this one here is nityam. No past, present, or future. Free from time. This one here, who I am, this one is avadhyaha. Cannot be killed, cannot be hurt. In the body, dehe, in whose body? Arjuna could be thinking, well, that's true for your body, because you're the Lord. No. Dehe sarvasya. In everyone's body. Every body. The dehi, the self, in every single body. The body of everyone. The dehi is free from time. And indestructible. Cannot be killed, cannot be wounded, cannot be penetrated. Tasmat. Therefore, Sarvani Bhutani Natvam Shochitum Arhasi. Natvam Shochitum Arhasi. Na Arhasi. Tvam Na Arhasi. You are not qualified. You are not. It is not. Translate like this. It is not appropriate for you. Shochitum. To grieve. Right? It is not appropriate for you to grieve. To grieve. Sarvani Bhutani, for all of these beings. Sarvani means all. Bhuta. Bhuta means a being, a living creature. So Sarvani Bhutani, all living creatures. Now he's going way beyond Bhishma and Drona and all of his, the ones that are so dear to him that he's going to be facing in the war. He's taken it from there to all beings. The self of all beings is nityam, free from time. Self of all beings is avadhya, cannot be hurt. And therefore, why do you grieve? What is your reason What is the qualification for this grief? Yeah. What is the rationale? What is your rationale for this grief? Because in fact there is no such thing as death. It simply does not exist. Now this is from this standpoint, to really appreciate it, what we mean by asanga, for the Atma to be something which is asanga. Asanga means not attached. It's not something that can, that is going to perish, nor is it going to, because it's non-objectifiable, it's not going to perish, it's not going to experience change. Your being will never experience change. And so how to relate to this? I like the dream. Because when you have a dream, it is so real. Right? You're a character in the dream. There's a universe in the dream which you're participating in. You have friends and family or enemies in the dream. There's a whole saga going on. There's the dream story, which you are absolutely engaged in. And when the alarm goes off and the dream vanishes, right? All of those characters that may have been your family and friends, it was your universe. The whole thing perishes. They're all destroyed. And there is not the slightest destruction. In the absolute destruction of the scattering of the entire dream, the dissolution of the entire dream experience, there is no experience of dissolution or loss or of anything meaningful having happened. Anything meaningful having happened means what is real, what is true, what is the essential being of that dream remains without a flicker of change. And so there is no death, nor is there any experience of death, nor is there an experience of loss, because the reality of the situation and what is actually there is not lost at all. And so what is, and what you even experience to be the reality here in this situation in the world, or in your dream, let's stick with the dream, in the dream, what you experience to be the reality is what remains. But what you experience to be the reality while you're a creature in the dream, that experience is superimposed upon the names and forms in the dream. In fact, the reality is superimposed upon the whole dream, and it's superimposed, therefore, on every part of the dream. And so because of that, you think that the reality, the being of this creation or of the dream, is real, because reality has been superimposed upon it. But when the dream goes away, what remains is reality, the very being, the very substance of what was actually there. And what has gone away is inconsequential because it had no being. And that is your experience. That's why when you wake up from the dream, you have no experience whatsoever of death or of loss. You might have been captivated by the dream. Oh, I really wish I would have. I'd really like to know what was going to happen there. You know? Just like if you were watching a movie. You know, oh, darn, you know? Or you'd have the experience if you've had a nightmare and you wake up from the nightmare, oh, thank God, it was only a dream, you know? Mm-hmm. So while it was there, that incredible intensity was being experienced. The reality was being experienced, right? And then all of the drama of the dream. But when the dream goes, what is left is what is true. And what you know to be true. And what you knew to be true experientially before, it was just superimposed. Get rid of the superimposition, and the truth is still there. And there's not a flicker of change. And that truth is your being. And that's very clear in reference to the dream. It has to become clear, that clear, in reference to us here, now. But you can understand the difference. When we look at the dream, now, it's so easy to analyze it, isn't it? Because we have this kind of objective viewpoint of the dream which isn't here right now, we've woken up from the dream. And we've recognized that, gee, that dream was apparent. You know, the one who was identified with the dream does not experience any change or death. In fact, the reality of the dream remains and the dream goes. The being of the dream remains. You know, the dream goes. We're looking at it from a distance. The dream character, for the dream character within the dream to recognize that truth, it's a little more difficult. It's easy for us in the waking state to understand the reality of the dream. But imagine what the dream character has to go through to recognize that truth. To recognize that the very being, which is their being, their me, their self, their reality, that that reality is the reality of the whole, is the changeless nityam, timeless being, which is non-objectifiable, avidyaha, is the very reality of all beings, is the changeless, non-objectifiable self of all the dehis, of all of the bodies, of everyone, and in fact of the whole creation. So that takes what we call viveka. There's an incredible amount of clarity and discrimination that has to go on. The mind has to be ready to recognize what is the substance, what is my being, you know, the being that is in fact lighting up all of these perceptions, lighting up the mind, lighting up the sense organs, lighting up all experience. That being, which is self-evident, that's why we can have knowledge in the first place, that self-evident being myself has to be differentiated from all of these things that in fact are lit up. That is the task. But when that is understood, now Lord Krishna is talking to Arjuna, because you have to remember also, Arjuna came to Krishna in the middle of the battlefield and asked Krishna to teach him, to teach him this knowledge. He realized there's no way out. I need to know this. And so he approached the Lord as his teacher and asked to be accepted as his student. And so Krishna is truly teaching him and going to teach him from every angle. So now at this point, for this part, he's teaching him what's the truth. The truth is there is no death. There's nothing to grieve for. Your being and all beings, in fact, the dehi in all of these bodies, that being is non-objectifiable, is free from time, and is free from death. And so if you're grieving for the death of all of these people, or your death, or my death, or anybody's death, that grief is inappropriate, because that death doesn't exist. Okay, so he says, oh, but you might be thinking about it differently. You might be thinking about it in terms of dharma, your own dharma, you know, because Arjuna had presented such a case about dharma and adharma, and what it would mean to be killing all of the kula and all of the dharmis, you know, then the whole kula, the whole family, you know, the whole tribe is going to be destroyed. And so Arjuna had a lot to say about that. Mm-hmm. So now Krishna wants to address that. So he says, on verse 31, Swataram mam apicha veksha, Swataram mam apicha veksha, navikampitum arhasi, navikampitum arhasi, dharmyat yudhat shreyunyat, dharmyat, oh I'm sorry, dharmyat yudhat shreyunyat, dharmyati yuddhat shreyunyat, kshatriyasya na vidyate, kshatriyasya na vidyate, swadharmam api cha aveksha na vikampitum arahasi. Dharmyat hi yuddhat shreyaha anyat kshatriyasya navidyate. So now Krishna says he's going changing levels now. He says swadharmam apicha aveksha. Swadharmam, accusative singular, api, your swadharma, your dharma, your own dharma, swadharmam, accusative singular, api, cha, and even, cha api, and even, aveksha, and even viewing it, and even looking at your own dharma. Aveksha is indeclinable past participle, right, with that ava, with a preposition there. So it's going to take ya instead of twa. Right? So aveksha, even considering, even viewing or keeping in mind your own dharma, swadharmam apicha. So in even keeping, even looking at your own dharma, na vikampitum arahasi, na arahasi. You don't have any reason, you're not qualified for na arahasi, to become, to be shaken. Vikampitum means to become shaken up. This shouldn't shake you up. You should, even if we look at it in terms of your own dharma, there's nothing out of order here. You shouldn't become squeamish when we look at it in terms of your own dharma either. He says, dharmyat hi yudhat shreyaha anyat. Shreyaha anyat. Another shreya, another shreyas means, if I say shreyaha anyat, anything better. There isn't anything better, right? Because na vidyate, anyat shreyaha na vidyate. There is not, na vidyate. There isn't anything, anyat, anything. There is not another thing better than what? Fifth case, dharmyat yudhat. There isn't anything better than, fifth case, than a dharmic war. A war, yuddha, war means yuddha, a battle, which is dharmic, for the sake of dharma, right? A battle about over dharma. So a war which is for the sake of dharma. Dharmyat yudhat. Shreyaha anyat kshatriyasya. For kshatriya. Because the kshatriya is the warrior class, and Arjuna and the Pandavas and all of them are kshatriyas. This is so interesting because everybody wants ahimsa. But you know, ahimsa means non-injury. But even in the Shastra, in the Mahabharata, in the Ramayana, in all of the Puranas, in all of the mythologies, you know, there is always war. But then the war is the war against a dharma. And there are rules of war. There's rules of engagement that if you were to go back and study the Mahabharata, they go into great, great detail about these wars, the rules of engagement. And all of the things that you must do to try to avoid war. But if you've tried all of these different means, conciliation and compromise and, you know, sacrifice, there's three or four major steps that you're supposed to take. But if you've tried all of these and they fail, then the war, going to war, to battle, is the last option. You know? And then as a kshatriya, it is your duty to protect the dharma. And so in this case, Arjuna is in that situation. He and his brothers of the Pandavas are kshatriyas, and they're kings. They're not just kshatriyas; they're kings. They're the ruling class. Their kingdom has been illegally, adharmically, taken away, you know, by Duryodhana and his brothers. And so now, trying to get their kingdom back, they've tried every means available, even sending Krishna as an emissary to try to gain the peace. And Duryodhana said something like, we won't even give them a needle points worth of land. Right? And so now, they're in a position, after having tried everything, they're in a position where it's their duty now to go to war and protect the Dharma and to protect the kingdom. So what he says here is, for a kshatriya, you know, there is nothing that's more shreyas. Shreyas means that which is the most honorable, or that which is the highest good. That's a good way to take it. Prayas means pleasure. In the Kanto Upanishad, they talk about this. Prayas means pleasure, sensory enjoyment, that type of pleasure, wealth, that type of thing. Shreyas has to do with what is the highest good. So actually, ultimately, shreyas is moksha. But if you take it in this context, is what is the highest good? What is the highest good for a kshatriya? Is to do their dharma. And when are they going to be doing their dharma? Right? It is their duty. If there's a war to be fought for dharma, then they're being called forth. Who they are as a person. Right, as a jiva. Who they are as a jiva, in terms of their birth and in terms of their responsibility, they're now being called forward to do that. And there are, Swamiji talks about this in his Bhashya, if you're all reading it, hopefully. You know, they say if you die doing your dharma, right, that punya will get you to Swargaloka, the performance of your dharma. And so here, for a kshatriya, their life is on the line in battle. And so Krishna is reminding Arjuna of that. Your life is on the line in battle. You will die. If you are to be, it says it in a different way a little later, but if you are to be killed in battle, you and the others will be killed doing their dharma. You know, doing the dharma. And that will take you to Swarga. So what he says here, So he says, Arjuna, if we look at this thing in reference to dharma, you shouldn't become weak around this, because it is the dharma of a kshatriya. To protect the dharma of the kshatriya is to protect dharma. And now you've trained your whole life for this, and now you're being called on to act. And so this is not a time to become shaky, he says. Let's do the next one. He says a few verses that are along these lines. Yadrachaya chopapannam, yadrachaya chopapannam, swargadwaram apavratam, swargadwaram apavratam, sukhina kshetriya paritta, labhante yuddhamidrasham. Lapante yuddhamidrasham. Says yadrichaya cha upapannam swarga dwaram apavritam sukhinaha kshatriyaha parta lapante yuddham idrasham. Yadrichaya cha upapannam. Upapannam, past passive participle from upapad. That which has come, yadrichaya, by chance. It's unasked for. Yadrichaya upapannam cha. And that which has come by chance, he's going to be talking about the war, swargat dwaram apavritam. Apavritam means opened. Past passive participle. Swargadwaram, the door of swarga. The door to, in English we'd say, it's an open door to swarga. But swarga, heaven, swargadwaram, the door to heaven, apavritam, is opened. Right? This, which has come by chance, is an open door to heaven. Do you see that? That's how we would say it. Sukhinaha kshatriyaha. Only sukhinaha kshatriyaha, nominative plural, lucky kshatriyas. That's how it's sort of translated like that. Suki comes from sukhin, means one, those who are happy, you know, they're happy. Like a dukkhi is unhappy, a sukhi is happy. So it's that happy kshatriya. So in English we probably would say lucky. Lucky kshatriyas. Hey Parita, labante, third person, atmanepada, present tense. Only the lucky kshatriyas. Or we could say kshatriyas are happy. It is, you know, labante to achieve. Well, to be just literal, the happy kshatriyas labante achieve gain, labante yuddham idrisham, a war like this. Idrisham like this, such as this. Yuddham, labante yuddham. Kshatriya, the kshatriyas, we could say, kshatriyas who obtain a war like this are happy. Right. Sukhinaha. Everybody see the grammar for the Sanskrit? Hey Partha. Okay. The kshatriyas who obtain a war like this, they're happy. A war like this, which is obtained by chance. Nobody asked, you didn't ask for it. You didn't create this war. This war is being given to you. It's happened. You didn't seek it out. You know, so by chance, this has fallen, this lot, this is your lot, this has fallen to you. And a kshatriya would consider themselves the most fortunate for such a war where you are called to protect the Dharma. You know, you're being asked to do your duty to protect the Dharma. Such a war is an open gate to heaven. You know, and it came unasked for you. To you, you should consider this a great punya. Yeah. It's giving you an opportunity. It's giving you an opportunity to do what you've spent your life preparing to do. You know, it's interesting too. I mean, there is a warrior class. If you look in every culture, ours included, there is a military. There's a warrior class. You know, and they train and train. I have a nephew who's in. He was in the Marines, like a Navy SEAL, but he was whatever they call that in the Marines, and something like that. And how much they train and prepare and plan, and train and train and train and drill and drill and drill and drill, to do that which we hope never ever happens, but they spend their life preparing to do that which everyone hopes will never happen. But then, when it does happen, then what they've spent their life training to do, now they will be called to do. And so there's going to be part of them, if you can just kind of appreciate the psychology, that is waiting to do what they've spent their life training to do. And I know, I don't know that that's true for all the people in the military, but I know that it's true was true for my nephew, you know? That when it was time to go and do it, he was ready and he was been waiting to do it. It's interesting. But this is exactly what Krishna is telling Arjuna. You've been waiting. You've trained. All of you have been trained your whole life to do this. Now you're being called to do it. It's your dharma. So do it. This is punya. It's an open door to heaven. If you get killed, fine. You go right to Swargaloka. So he says, then he says, Atta chet tvam imam taranyam, sangramam na karishyasi, tatasvadharmam kirtimcha, yetva papam avapsyasi. Yedva papam avapsyasi atachet tvam imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi tataha sudharmam kirtim cha yedva papam avapsyasi. He says, and then atachet, and if, and say, and now say, it's an expressive, and if now, tvam, you, imam, dharmyam, samgramam, this dharmic war, sangrama is war. Imam, and these are accusatives, imam dharmyam dharmic, war, this war for the sake of dharma, imam is this, imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi. And if you don't do it, if you will not, using the future tense, it's a conditional. If you were not to do it, right, not to engage in this war for the sake of dharma, this dharmic war, okay? So, and now say, you will not, you don't. You decide not to engage in this dharmic war. Tataha, then, okay, then, swadharmam kirtim cha hitwa. Hitwa, indeclinable past participle. Having given up, having abandoned your dharma, swadharmam. Hitwa swadharmam. Having abandoned your dharma, kirtim cha, and your fame. You're not going to just give it up your dharma. Kirti also. Because Arjuna was a famous warrior. Of all the Pandavas, Arjuna was the best. You know, he was the best in terms of warfare, the best archer, the most skilled in warfare. And he was famous for it. Even among all of the Kauravas also. He was considered the best. And so he had that kirti. Kirti means fame. He had that reputation. So now Krishna says, now, say you decide not to engage in this war, in this dharmic war. You will first be giving up your own dharma, and then you're giving up your reputation. And then what? Papam avapsyasi. You'll incur papa. Because Arjuna had made such a case, right, that if he engaged in this war and killed all of these people, that he would be incurring papa. He would be a great papi, in fact. The greatest papi. Because even understanding the importance of protecting the kula, protecting the family and the community, he went and wiped it all out. And so what greater papi is that? So Arjuna had made a great argument around this. And so now Krishna says, no. If you decide not to do this, right, you're going to be giving up your dharma and your fame, giving all of that up, then you will incur sin, incur papa. And let's go on, because he has more to say here. Papam eva avapsyasi, you will obtain, you will gain. Papa avapsyasi, you will gain papa. Right? Everybody see that? Future. So it's that conditional. If you do this, then this will happen. Okay. Akirtim cha pibhutani. Akirtim cha pibhutani. Katayishyanti te vyayam. Katayishyanti te vyayam. Sambhavitasya cha kirtihi. Sambhavitasya cha kirtihi. Maranat atirichyati te. Maranat atirichyate. Says, akirtim cha api bhutani katayishanti te avyayam sambhavitasya cha akirtihi maranat atirichyate. He says, akirtim cha, this akirti, infamy. Kirti is fame. Akirti is infamy. So he says, the beings, people, Bhutani, everyone, all the beings, everybody around you, Bhutani, katayishante, everyone will say, future tense, avyayam, relentlessly, without stop. Everyone will say, avyayam means it won't wane. It won't become less. It will be relentless. Everybody will relentlessly be talking about te, your akirtim. And everybody will go on talking about your infamy. Sambhavitasya cha akirtihi. And this type of infamy for sambhavita, for a person who is honorable, for a person who has a reputation to uphold, who has that pride of reputation and honor, that akirti, you know, for a person who is honorable. A person who is honorable means they don't deserve that. It's not true. There is no akirti there. The motivations are not that of wrong action or infamy. And so for a person who is an honorable person, to have that relentless akirti, infamy, taking place, he says, maranat atirichate, that is worse than death. That is worse than death. To see your whole reputation, everything that you are as a person, your own honor and your own goodness, you know, being totally reviled. Swamiji talks about this interestingly in his bhasha on this, and in the years that I've spent with Swamiji, I've seen certain things come up just in people's lives over the years, where you'll find yourself in a very difficult situation, say a difficult situation at work, for instance, or that's probably the best example, and I can think of a few examples of that. You're in a difficult situation at work. The workplace is making your life a misery, or there's a few people in the workplace that are impossible and are also making your life very difficult. And so what a person would want to do is quit and change jobs. Get out. This is ridiculous, you know. And I've seen Swamiji so many times say, no, you wait. Because, and this is why. I think this is what he feels. Because when I read this, I think of these type of situations. You know, there's never a time when everything and everyone is going to be pleasing all of the time or serving you all of the time. And so when things become difficult, that's not the time to quit. When people are attacking you, you know, when you don't deserve that attack, that's not the time to fold up and run away. That's the time to stay. Yeah. And so I've seen that, and I see that value here. Arjuna, this is the point that Swamiji is making here in reference to this. In Arjuna's mind, he is not running away. He wants to go to the forest. He wants to give up all of his wealth. He wants to give up everything. Just take sannyasa and leave. Let them have it. You know? Vairagya. But really, he's serious. Let them have it. Let all of them live and be happy. I would be much happier giving everything up and just going to the forest. So his intention is noble. His intention is noble. But then, how do you think that Duryodhana and the others would respond to his noble intention? Because they're not dharmis. You know? In fact, they're thieves, they're criminals. Mm-hmm. So are they going to announce to the world, Arjuna was so dharmic. He's such a good person. He's such a loving person. He cares so much about the world that he's given us this entire kingdom and spared all of our lives and now is living on alms in the forest. Hail Arjuna. It's not going to happen. You know? What's going to happen? You know?
Ridicule.
Yes, he will be ridiculed as weak and running away. And not having the strength to defend himself, you know. And so instead of the noble heart, his noble heart being recognized, instead his weakness is going to be ridiculed, you know. And so That's going to be pointed out here. Let's do a couple more of these. Bayat ranat uparatam. Bayat ranat uparatam. Mamsyante tvam maharataha. Mamsyante tvam maharataha. Yesham chatvam bahumataha. Yesham chatvam bahumataha. Bhutva yasyasi lakavam. Bhutva yasyasi lakavam. He says, the great, even the Maharatas are Bayat, Ranat, Uparatam, Mamsyante, Tvam, Maharataha, Yesham Cha Tvam, Bahumataha, Bhutva, Yasyasi Lagavam. Maharataha tvam mansyante. The Maharataha, the great warriors on either side. Maharata, he's not talking about on this side, or the, on his side or the other side. Those who are strong, the ones who are Maharatas, means the greatest of the warriors. Mansyante tvam. They will think of you in this way as being someone, bayat rana uparatam. They'll think of you as somebody who's retreated from the war. Ranat is the war, the battle. Ablative. Ranat uparatam. You, tvam, accusative singular. They'll think of you as someone who is uparatam, desisted, pulled back. Ranat, from the war. Bayat, because of fear. From fear. From fear, you have run away from this battle. That's what the warrior, the people who are the warriors, will think. Yesham cha tvam bahumataha bhutva. For you, tvam, nominative singular, yesham, for them, for whom you had been bahumataha, very strong. Somebody who possessed great strength. You were considered tvam bahumataha. But those people had considered you as a great man, as somebody who was very strong and brave and courageous, bahumataha. Having considered you that, now, yasyasi lagavam, for them, you will go to lagavam, weakness. Right? They had thought of you as being very strong and brave. Now, the great ones, the great warriors, will think of you as being weak. Avachyavadamscha bahun. Vadishyanti tavahitaha. Vadishyanti tavahitaha. Nindantas tavasamarjam. Nindantas tavasamarjam. Tato dukataram nukim. Tato dukataram nukim. He says, now talking just about the enemies, Duryodhana, the others. Avachyavadam, accusative plural. Words which are, should never be said, avachya. Vachya means potential participle. Vachya, what should be said, avachya, they should not be spoken. Avachyavadam, words that should not be spoken. Bahun, many words. Many words which should not, which should never even be uttered. Should never come out of your mouth. Vadishyanti tava ahitaha. Hita means somebody who wishes you well. Ahita, somebody who doesn't wish you well. Your enemies. So, tava, your ahitaha, nominative plural. Your enemies, those who do not wish you well, vadishyanti, they will say words which should never even be uttered. Many words, bahun, which should never even be uttered. Nindantaha tava samarityam. Those enemies censoring or reviling your capacity. Means nindant means to censure, to speak ill of, to spit on. your capacity, those people, those enemies reviling you and all of your samaritya, all of your capacity, those people will be saying words about you, your enemies, that should never be uttered. Tattaha dukataram mukhyam. What is more painful than that? Dukataram, comparative, more sorrowful. Kim nu, nu is an emphasis. Kim nu dukataram. What is worse than that? What is more sorrowful? Tattaha, from that. Right, ablative, tas, with that ablative sense. So from that, tattaha dukataram kim nu. What's worse than that? What's more sorrowful than that? Okay. One more. Hato va prapsyasi swargam. Hato va prapsyasi swargam. Jitva va bokshase mahim. Jitva va bokshase mahim. Tasmat uttishta kaunteya. Tasmat uttishta kaunteya. Yuddhaya akrita nischayaha. Yuddhaya krita nischayaha. Hataha va prapsyasi swargam. Jitva va bokshase mahim. Tasmat uttishta kaunteya. Yuddhaya krita nischayaha. Two vas there. Va, the two vas, it means either this or that, either or. Hatta, either. Hatta, you're killed. You'll be killed. Hatta, past passive participle. So, hatta, either killed. Prapsyasi swargam. You'll go to swarga. Kill, either. Killed, you will attain swarga, heaven. Va or jitva, having conquered. Bokshase mahim, you'll enjoy this earth. Right? Either killed, you attain swarga, or if you're victorious, you'll enjoy the mahim, the earth, accusative singular. Tasmat, therefore, uttishta, imperative, second person, get up, stand up. You know, tasmat uttishta kaunteya, a son of Kunti, Kunti's son. Tasmat uttisha. And son of Kuti means protect the Dharma. Protect the family. You know? Protect the mother. Tasmat uttishta. Get up. E kaunteya. Yuddhaya krita nischayaha. Make this nischaya firm. Krita. The nischaya. Become resolved. Krita. Done. Let this nischaya be done. Let your mind become resolved. Yuddhaya, for this war. Let yourself become engaged. Commit yourself. Let the commitment for this war take place. Get up, stand up, and go. Let yourself become committed to this war. Do your dharma. Do what is meant to be done. And that's the punya. That is Krishna's pep talk. But also, I mean, it is a pep talk, because he says, Uttishta, get up, do it, now. You know? But he makes the Dharma very clear also. And from that standpoint of Dharma, this is what you've trained for, and this is your duty, and it's come to you. So you should find you should be committed to it, and you should do it. You know? And if you get killed, you'll go to swarga. And if you don't, you'll be here on the earth. And that's their situation too. And in reality, there's no death at all, so what should I worry about? Okay, let's take a minute. Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamadachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.